Blog Talk Radio.
How do we know this is Babylon? Psalms 137. I'm going to read it. This place was known for the slaves, slave ships, boats. The children of Israel were singing songs and being whipped and beaten in this particular land. So, let me read. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Yeah. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Willows are willow trees. Where do willow trees grow? Here in America, in the South. They didn't even grow in ancient Babylon. The willow trees name in the Latin is the Babylonicus. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So when we were whipped and beaten, we used to go under the willow trees and cry during slavery. Third verse. For there they that carried us away, captive, required of us a song. So this is talking about by the rivers of Babylon now. They required of us a song. That's where you get your Negro spirituals at. Okay? When the captives were enslaved during the time of slavery, they wasn't singing about Africa. The slaves were singing about Zion. Over the river Jordan, let my people go. These people knew that they were the children of Israel. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's Negro spirituals. 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What strange land? By the rivers of Babylon. Yeah, they named it America. But the Most High called this land an extension of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It reads in the fourth verse. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So David said, listen, he would rather not even know anything to forget the ease of Israel. He told the Most High, please never let me forget that we're Israel, that I'm from Zion. And our people don't even care. The seventh verse. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Edom is a pure blood Caucasian who was behind bringing us here to Babylon to serve. You will never find the word America in the Bible, but you know America is written because it's the most evil and wicked empire in all existence. So you mean to tell me the Most High wrote about Egypt, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the evils placed in the earth, but forgot America? America is Babylon the Great. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The Most High has put his spirit on these other countries to take her out through war. And all the other nations know it. The government know it. The bank systems, they realize it. They know prophecy. So what they're doing, they're mobilizing to move their money into the other countries over in Europe and Africa and all these other places you see Barack Obama going. He's been to Ghana twice already, knowing that this place is about to go. The ninth verse. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So while they're teaching you prosperity, that everything is going to be all right, that you're going to be floated up into a cloud, which is nowhere in the scriptures before Christ come back. While they teach you all this madness in these philosophical schools they call churches, the Most High's prophecies are coming to pass. They're coming to pass before our eyes. You can see it. And you know it's going to happen. But Satan have what you would call a spell on the people through religion. So the Most High have awakened his elect in the last days to warn the people. Zechariah, the second chapter in your Bible, the fifth verse. For I say of the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. We didn't say this, the Lord said this. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. So is this ancient Babylon? No. This is the modern day daughter of ancient Babylon. And we're in the north. The Most High say we must flee her before the destruction comes. If we don't flee her, we'll get the plagues that are coming. In Revelation 18, which says she shall be utterly burned with fire. The 8th verse. Okay? There's more, but if you want to know more, you can always go to our website.
Shabbat Shalom, Barakafam, Wapawada, peaceful Sabbath. Bless you all, and thank you for tuning in to another live stream of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon here for the Gathering of Christ Church, where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible prophecy. I'm your host, Brother and Elder Ramar Karab. It is 7:17 p.m. Central Standard Time, July 7th, 2023. Streaming live from the belly of the beast, the heart of Babylon, standing in the face of the evil one. We are here holding it down, and I pray that you brothers and sisters out there are holding it down as well, that you have had a blessed week, and that now we are coming upon the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath, that your Sabbath will be blessed as well. I want to give all praise, honor, glory to the Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Elohim, the Elohim, some may know as, right? I want to give all praise, honor, and glory for making it through another week and being blessed to see another Sabbath, because it's not always guaranteed. So definitely thankful for that. And thankful to be here with you brothers and sisters who are live and, you know, with us, participating live, watching. Maybe some of you are in the live chat. And thankful to be here for another live stream where we can bring out and hopefully make sense out of this bizarre and crazy reality that we live in right now, which the Bible is, you know, many who are familiar with the Bible know as Bible prophecy, these things being spoken of in the Bible. And so hopefully we can make sense out of it by going through the scriptures, things that were written aforetime, which were written for our learning, right? And we talk about prophecy, being able to see ahead of time, right, before it happens, okay? So definitely thankful, and boy, do we have a broadcast for you, brothers and sisters, tonight. With some of the information I was going over, it is mind-blowing. Let's get the title before we go into the announcements. The title for tonight's live stream is Project Bluebeam and the Rapture Deception. Project Bluebeam and the Rapture Deception. And so for some of you out there may not maybe quite understand all of that there in the title, but we're going to go into it, and hopefully by the end of the broadcast you will be edified in understanding why we're going into this content, and you will have better understanding of everything that from the title and as far as the details and content that we go into tonight. All right, so stay tuned. I'm going to go into it. And definitely strap on those seatbelts because the ride is going to be pretty roller coaster level with the information tonight. So, you know, before we go into any of that, just want to let everyone know that make sure that you let everybody out there know that we are streaming live tonight on Twitch as typically we do. Twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest is the channel that you can find us streaming live. You can watch through pretty much any device, right? Computer, cell phone, tablet, your TV. I don't even know some people even listen through their PlayStation or their gaming device as well. So you can either open up a browser. Twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest is the link that takes you to our live stream. Or you can go to the Twitch. You can get the Twitch app in the App Store for your device. Download that. Search for GOCC Southwest, and you can watch through the app. All right. And I'm so thankful that something has changed because I used to get all types of people complaining about the buffering and the latency issues here on Twitch. But I could tell you the last time I got that. So it looks like things are flowing pretty smooth on Twitch these days for being able to hear and see without the hiccups. Right. So we're here on Twitch. We're also multicasting through Blog Talk. We're going to simulcast. The Blog Talk call-in number for guests is 515-605-9327, 515-605-9327, right? And so if you have a comment or question, you can press 1. That puts you in the queue, lets me know you would like to speak. If not, then you can just listen in if you want to call in and listen through your phone. It will cut off about 2 hours from now and go into overtime. And if you're not on the call, you will not be able to call in if you would like to speak. So comments, questions, any news you would like to add in, any experiences, testimonials, things like that, feel free to call in. I'll check the lines periodically. All right. We also have our backup channel for our content, odyssey.com, GOCC Southwest on odyssey.com. You can find that direct link here under the About Me section or the About section here on Twitch. All of our backup content is there. All right. If it's not on our YouTube channel, then it is on our Odyssey channel. A lot of these stuff, you know, live streams we do, we cannot talk about this stuff on YouTube. So I don't try to do the word gymnastics and dance around and jump around words to try to talk about some of these topics because it's just this information is hard enough to explain and articulate as is. So I don't have the energy on a 5-hour live stream to think about all of my words before I say them to make sure that if I'm saying something that may or may not get a strike on YouTube. So that's on Odyssey. Speaking of YouTube, we also have our main channel, which is youtube.com/GOCC Southwest. Make sure you're subscribed there, right? And that way, should we do any type of live stream where it's maybe not on a Friday or maybe it's not going to be on Twitch, it'll be on YouTube, then you will know by being subscribed to our YouTube channel. We also do on Friday nights our GOCC Fit. You can find us there on GOCC Media on YouTube, GOCC Media. Make sure you're subscribed there, the GOCC Media, as well as other content from other brothers that are on there weekly. Our main channel for the church is A Gathering 144 on YouTube, and the backup channel on YouTube is GOCC NYC. Make sure you are subscribed. The website for the church, gatheringofchrist.org, everything from the Hebrew calendar to the holy days, to the Resource Library, to the GOCC Network, and more. All there, you can find all things Gathering of Christ Church on our website. And last but definitely not least, we're talking about some of this tonight, the Hebrew and Bible Academy. I believe we're going into week three. And if you are not a part of the Hebrew and Bible Academy, you're missing out. If you would like to know more or you would like to sign up, historytimes.org, historytimes.org, to get more information on the Hebrew and Bible Academy. All right, so I believe that's covered the announcements for tonight, and so we can go ahead and get right into the information because it is so much to talk about on this, so much to go into, and we want to be able to make sure we get through it in a timely fashion and don't cut off or leave any meat on the bone, so to speak. So let me once again bring up the broadcast title for tonight, Project Blue Beam and the Rapture Deception. Project Blue Beam and the Rapture Deception. And boy, I was going through some of this information last night, and it is wild. It's so crazy how it connects with everything we've talked about up until now with this church and with this particular ministry on Friday nights. And you're going to see, hopefully, how it all connects together. Right? You're going to hopefully see how it all connects together. Mind-blowing, to say the least, out of this world. No pun intended, okay? So for those that don't know what Project Blue Beam is, don't worry. We're going to go into the explanation of what is Project Blue Beam, as well as the Rapture Deception, because, of course, you have Christians out there who would, you know, all they know is the Rapture. I know for us, and there may be even some of those still here among us that believe in the rapture. Is there a rapture deception in the Christian religion? All right. Will this rapture deception be something that is actually carried out in some, you know, some form of fashion through, whether it be through technology, you know, the tricknology, you know, through a fake alien invasion, which takes us to, you know, we're basically following the heels of our past Friday night coming out of Babylon broadcast, the coming fake UFO and alien invasion. So this is kind of a part two, as we briefly touched on Project Blue Beam in this particular live stream. For those who haven't seen it, it's on our Odyssey. You can check it out. And I wanted to kind of recap off of, you know, the things that we spoke about last dealing with this particular live stream that we did. And let me get some information up here for you all. Give me 1 second. Just want to pick up so everybody kind of understands what we discussed last. And so we talked about dealing with the alien, so-called alien phenomena. Some of you may be familiar with this particular image here that I showed, that we showed here. And we went into the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, and we went through the whole chapter. And I'm not going to go through the whole chapter again. But when you read Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north," meaning out of the heavens. All right, the north is up in this context. "A great cloud," letting you know it's up because the clouds are in the sky. "And a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the mist thereof as the color of amber, out of the mist of the fire." All right, fire, energy, light, all these things Ezekiel saw shining out of the heavenly realm. And if you look at verse 16, it says, "The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel." So what you had was what a lot of people would call an alien encounter. And in our day and age, they would say this was an alien encounter. But when you read the scriptures, you understand that these were angels. All right, this was a spiritual intervention happening here, spiritual phenomenon that wasn't necessarily something that happened every day that Ezekiel was experiencing, with these angels coming down with a unidentified flying object, a wheel within a wheel, or what we may know as a gyroscope. Right, something that's moving, it's rotating. As you look at that word wheel there, it means to rotate. So this wheel is moving, right? And then you have a wheel in a wheel. So this wheel is not only moving this way, but it's rotating. See how, like, these right here represent the wheel as it's moving. Okay, so the wheel is moving like a clock as it's spinning inside the wheel. So as a kid, you may be familiar with a gyroscope. Okay, it's a toy. All right, let me find some more images here. Right, something like this. Now, typically, when you see what you would call a UFO or a flying saucer, right, a saucer, we know that this wheel looks like a saucer, okay? But it's a wheel within a wheel, and typically what you would see is the flying saucer, you would see this bottom part cut off, because this is where the deception of aliens comes in. You would see this bottom part cut off, and this would be like in the depiction of a cabin, to where the little green or gray man would be on the inside of the cabin here. Okay, because it's almost the exact thing of what you would see a wheel within a wheel. So they had to explain it away in a way to where they don't have you understand what it really is, because that's where the deception lies. And they can use this deception in many different ways. They can, if they were to be able to acknowledge that these are angels, spiritual beings and vessels, then they would then have to admit that there is a God. So all the atheists out there and all the atheism out there would now be abolished if they came out and said, yes, the God, you know, of the heavens is real. The Bible speaks about it's a wheel within a wheel. So they deceive us by cutting off the bottom, stick a little green or gray man in here and say, oh, it's a flying saucer and there's a little green gray man in the cabin. No, it's a wheel within a wheel. All right. This is exactly what you would typically see, minus the bottom half. When they show you a flying saucer, it looks something like this. And you see a little green head up in here looking down. Right? Pure deception. We're going to talk about it tonight. For those people who may be new or maybe think different, we're going to show tonight, hopefully, if we haven't already, in the previous fake alien invasion broadcast we did to show this. But nonetheless, They would have to acknowledge the Bible is real. What Ezekiel saw was this event. And just so they would see how the flying saucer looks. It's a wheel. And here is the top part of the wheel. And then they cut the bottom part off. But it's a wheel within a wheel, right? And so this is more so what Ezekiel saw coming out of the heavens, but it was light, fire, and energy. It wasn't metal, okay? And it was moving like this. And I want to give a shout out to Brother Jeremy. He actually sent me a video. I don't believe this is his video, of someone who actually recorded this phenomenon in the sky, this gyroscope, event of what the Bible calls chariots of God. All right, the angels' ability to travel with these chariots. So I'm gonna play it here, but you all see the full screen. So as you can see here, it's like a sphere of light and energy, and it's all different kinds of colors, like a rainbow. Even Ezekiel talks about the bow, right? And of course, it's not necessarily going to be the best quality because you're talking about trying to capture this energy on a camera. But as you can see, and it's just sitting in the sky. Oftentimes you'll see them just sitting there in the sky, not moving left, right, up, or down, but like a gyroscope, the wheel within the wheel is moving in all different directions. And so that might give you a little bit better. I know we showed some video footage of Elder Ariah sent us. He sees them every night at sundown on his land. These vessels come in through portals and pop up and disappear and pop up on his land and just sit there in the sky. Right? And so, okay, so we had Ezekiel there. Let me come back to my screen here. Just kind of want to do a little recap of what we talked about last, because we talked about the alien deception. So we're just getting the true understanding of what is an actual alien event versus what they've told us and sold us through entertainment, through government, what an alien event is, and how now they are more so coming out in recent time of this year, and even leading up to this year, but especially this year, 2023, of really pushing a lot of alien stuff in the news, even to the point to where the beginning of the year, you had these balloons that were floating above America, supposedly, allegedly, that they shot down, that they were trying to, there was controversy where these aliens, was this a UFO that was shot down out the sky? So we see here in 2020, they were looking to hypnotize us behind this boogeyman disease that popped up out of nowhere. The flu disappeared in 2020. There were no flu numbers. There was only COVID numbers for this new coronavirus called COVID-19. But this artist drew this, what he believes, or what they believe, she could be a she, what they're doing in 2020, it was to hypnotize us through the psychological operation, the PSYOP of mind control, was to hypnotize us with this boogeyman disease that shut the whole world down, which then followed in 2021 of them now telling us that we had to go out and get vaccinated. You had to. If you wanted to have a job, if you wanted to travel, all these things, you had to be vaccinated, what they told us. Funny how right now nothing is, you know, COVID-19 is almost like it never happened. Like you don't hear anybody talking about it like it never happened. The vaccine, you don't hear anybody talking about, you know, you got to take it at your job or you're going to get fired. Okay. Nobody, you know, even to the point to where the other day I heard a Pfizer commercial on the radio about COVID-19, and they didn't say nothing about the vaccine because so much now is coming out with the damage that this vaccine has done to those who have taken it. So they tried to hypnotize us through the fear and trauma-based mind control with that in 2021. Then in 2022, once both those disappeared, then emerged the new threat of a war in Ukraine with Russia, the boogeyman of the Cold War. That's been the arch nemesis of the West since World War II. The West's best friend, and you know, during World War II, but after World War II became the West's worst enemy. And so now they were telling us there's this new war in Ukraine, and we have to pump billions upon billions of American taxpaying money over into Ukraine, along with billions upon billions of military weaponry. Right? Then, no sooner than 2023 starts, we get all this alien talk. And so the latest PSYOP, the latest fear campaign to traumatize the public into believing of the coming threat from space that we must now prepare for, to fight against, unite one world. And see, and that's the beautiful thing of understanding the Bible, is that when you read the Bible, you see, okay, well, hasn't this happened before? Remember, there's no new thing under the sun. History repeats itself. And if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. And so I remember this happening once under Nimrod, where the world was one and united against the heavenly realm and was building a tower into the sky to fight against the Most High God. Well, now they have just repackaged it, reshaped it, reformed it into the idea of an alien invasion and how we must fight the aliens coming out the sky. And we went into the scriptures about Christ's return. There's only one alien coming out the sky, and it's Christ and his angels. And that's what they're getting the public ready to fight against, and all different types of ways of getting them ready. We're going to talk about those different ways tonight, how they're getting the public ready to fight against this so-called alien threat coming out the sky, and what they're looking to do to actually have people believe in all this. They flooded us with entertainment, okay, movies, TV shows, video games. And so now they're bombarding us with mainstream media pushing this. I'm going to pull an article up here for us to check out. All right. This comes off the Daily Mail, dated June 10th, 2023, so just about a month ago. And it says here, would you survive an alien invasion? Study reveals safest states to live in event of extraterrestrial attack. And it's bad news for the West Coast. So isn't it interesting that every time there's an article about aliens, it's always hostile. Anytime you see aliens in mainstream media, or entertainment, movies, and all those things, 9 times out of 10, it's hostile. Nothing's happened yet after all these, they say, billions of years of mankind living on this planet, what they say, which we know mankind has only been around for around 6,000 years. Okay. But after all this time, they haven't done anything, but now they're looking to do something. All of a sudden, you don't have any proof they exist or anything. But notice how it's, because it's about the fear campaign. And we talked about the West Coast. There was what you called the Battle of Los Angeles, where we brought on a video of, I forget his name. I think it's, let me pull his name up here real quick. Gonna find it. I think it was D'Souza. Let me see. He was an ex-FBI retired agent. Let me see. John D'Souza, ex-FBI, right, special agent. And he talked about this battle on the West Coast with the military. This is like during World War II, where they thought that, you know, there was going to be this attack from Japan on the West Coast during World War II, and how there appeared in the sky two UFOs, and the military was shooting at these UFOs, and all the, you know, artillery, you know, bullets, missiles was going right through these UFOs, and it was coming back down to the ground, and it ended up killing people on the ground. Okay, there's also a movie called Battle Los Angeles. Los Angeles means the angels. It doesn't sound like it's really good, any good news for the West Coast in any type of biblical, you know, catastrophe, whether it's an earthquake or a tsunami or an extraterrestrial attack. The West Coast is just not the place to be, according to them. It says the best and worst states for surviving an alien invasion have been revealed amid a spike in UFO mania. Right? So they want you to believe there's a spike in UFO mania. Like people are just fanatic now, when they're the ones pushing all this through, you know, through the airwaves, through entertainment. They're the ones causing the mania, but they wanted to make it seem like people are getting hysterical about the idea. It says here, Virginia residents will fare the best, while the wide open landscape and high numbers of UFO sightings put West Coast metros at the bottom. And then they also have a video here, how a crashed UFO recovered by the U.S. military distorted space and time. So they're running these types of PSYOP publications, aliens, alien invasion, the danger, oh my God, what are we going to do when the aliens invade? Okay. And you have an actual color score here. In the darker blue your state is, the most likely you are to survive, whereas the closer to white, least likely. And here you have, of course, the entity of the hour, the gray alien. All right. So what we always see is this character here. Every time they talk about aliens, it looks something along these lines. Big head, big black eyes, you know, skinny, naked body. Right. Like aliens can't look anything else than this. And And here they come. And the only thing that these aliens could be looking to do is to attack U.S. cities and destroy us. That's the only possible option. There is no option of them coming in peace and providing, you know, sharing technology. No, none of that is even a hypothetical possibility for their narrative. Only death and destruction. So if you're a person and you see an image like this, what, and you don't really know what's going on, what is it you think? How does this make you feel? Does this make you feel easy about yourself or uneasy? Right? Then they bring up, you know, Roswell and all these other areas, Area 51, okay, crash site, and the government's hiding the fact of these aliens have come here and crashed, and they're hiding them now. And so John D'Souza, and I'll pull up some images here of him. All right. He was talking about how these aliens are not what we think they are. He said they're not little green or gray men or big green or gray men, right? He said they're not physical. He said they're interdimensional beings. He said they're interdimensional beings. And he said their UFO or their craft are like plasma or energy or light. And so you cannot shoot them down with our weapons. It's going to go right through them. And then he brought up the Ezekiel account and was expounding on the fact that what we're reading in Ezekiel is a clear understanding of what aliens really are. Right. And he went on to say that what this is all about, this is about faking and staging a false alien invasion to bring the whole world under a new world order. All right. And then we talked about the movie Independence Day. Independence Day movie. Right, here comes the big bad aliens coming down out the sky. Here it is, destroying the White House. And the whole world must now unite together to fight against this threat, which we showed Ronald Reagan give multiple speeches where he spoke on this, that I feel like these wars that we have amongst each other would cease if we had a alien threat happen, that we would all then stop fighting amongst each other and fight against the aliens coming from space, fight the aliens. And he said, is there not already an alien threat among us now? Right. There's a lot of stuff we can, you know, we can take from what he was saying, Ronald Reagan. But notice how we're just coming off of Independence Day, July 4th. This week, I spoke about this a little bit last broadcast. We're just coming off Independence Day, and I said there's no new thing under the sun. That this reminds me of what happened under the original Tower of Babel with Nimrod, how all people were under one tongue, one language, and how they built a tower to go up into space, and they were fighting and looking to fight in war with the Most High God in space. And they were shooting arrows and everything else out into space. So now we fast forward to a movie called Independence Day. And we all know Independence Day is 4th of July, long before this movie came out. And what is it the people do on Independence Day, July 4th? What are people doing on Independence Day? People are gathering together to either watch, witness, participate, even themselves launch rocket fire up into the sky. Sound familiar? Tower of Babel, Nimrod. Here we see it above the White House, shooting rockets in the sky. What really is Independence Day? Because they tell us, well, there was 1776, and the pilgrims and those were fleeing from British persecution came over, and it was freedom from the Britons. All the while, these people coming over are enslaving people from Africa, blacks, robbing, stealing, killing, and pillaging from the natives of the land, Native Americans, Hispanics that we know today, Hispanics, Mexicans, right? Puerto Ricans, Cubans, all of those in the isles around America. So where was their Independence Day in all of this? So you have a certain people declaring independence, all the while enslaving and robbing and stealing from another people. Is that not hypocrisy on the most highest of levels? But that's a whole nother conversation than what we're dealing with right now. So because then when you look at Independence Day, the First Amendment says freedom of religion. You can worship whoever you want, whatever religion you want. So if you want to worship the devil, and now they've now stolen the land, enslaved the people that they're going to use to build up this empire, to now give you the right to now worship the devil, if that's what you want to do. And we fast forward to today's time and we look and see all the Satanism in all aspects of our reality, all the sodomy intertwined and mixed in to where they're one and the same people. So really what Independence Day was and is, July 4th, is America and American people's freedom from God, freedom of religion. You can do whatever you want. Worship whoever you want. And we're going to teach you that God isn't real, to hate God, all the while getting you to participate in shooting rockets in the sky as a act and show of defiance towards God. And most people ignorantly, so this isn't a knock on those who didn't know, okay? You only know what you know. Hey, when I was younger, I used to pop fireworks. I didn't know any better. But I repented from that, and now that I know what it's all about, I'm not into that no more, right? So this is what Independence Day means, and now they're bringing it home with movies like Independence Day. They're now bringing it all the way home, and now we now understand what this all means. On Independence Day is something coming out the sky that the world has issue with, and that it has issue with the world, is coming to bring destruction to the world, and we must unite so that we can have our independence against them coming against us, right? So it's all interwoven and connected in together. And so this is, this is the fake UFO and alien invasion psyop that now has been really over the last maybe 70 to 100 years, really, really pushed on the minds of the masses through psychology, through the trauma-based mind control. And so we're going to talk about a lot of these things tonight. Give me a moment. I'm trying to pull something up here. All right, got it here because we're going to be going into so much information tonight. So let's go ahead and get started. Let us go ahead and get started with the information tonight. So, again, tonight's broadcast, now that we're picking up off the coming fake UFO and alien invasion, Project Bluebeam and the Rapture Deception. Let's first start with Project Bluebeam. What is Project Bluebeam? We brought this up last week. You had a French journalist by the name of Serge Monast. He was a Canadian investigative journalist, poet, essayist, and conspiracy theorist. Wow. That's quite the thing to be put on your name after you're dead and gone. He passed in 1996. Which we're going to talk about his death also, as he was only, 41 years old, which is young. We're going to talk about his death. But, you know, to be called this after you die, to be called a conspiracy theorist after you die, that's you know, if this person never claimed to be a conspiracy theorist, that's quite the label to slap on somebody. But it's all done for a reason. So now anything that this person now has put out as investigative journalism, independent, can now be ostracized, scrutinized, and outright rejected because you're automatically in your mind. The mind is designed to work a certain type of way. So if you're told something is conspiracy theorist or cultist, it's a cult, then automatically you're going to probably be not inclined to hear anything that person has to say and disregard it as crazy. It says he is known to English-speaking readers mainly for the originating conspiracy theory Project Bluebeam. So here now we're going to get the understanding of what Project Bluebeam is. Project Bluebeam, which concerns an alleged plot to facilitate a totalitarian world government by destroying traditional religions and replacing them with a new age belief system using NASA technology. So what we're seeing here is a plot by the government to establish a one world government, totalitarian, bringing in a new age belief system using technology from NASA, is what he claimed. And we're going to go into some of his writing, which is, boy, it's just all I can say is it's mind-blowing, going into the stuff he was writing about. All right. So remember his death, 1996 also. 41 years old. So there we have the beginning of understanding what Project Bluebeam is. Now, what is the rapture, one may ask, for those that don't know what the rapture is? So when you go and you do a look up on the rapture, we're going to talk about this. Notice the first definition says a feeling of intense pleasure or joy. Rapture. So the first definition of rapture comes with a feeling. It's a feeling, first off. Okay, a feeling is a feeling. A feeling doesn't, just because something feels good doesn't make it right. All right. Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the Garden of Eden that they were told not to eat from the tree of good and evil, and it felt good to them. It was good in their sight when they ate it, but it was wrong. So our feelings, the reason I'm bringing this out, because our feelings, our emotions can deceive us. And if we're able to be in a place of intense pleasure or joy over something that's wrong, now you can see where deception can come in. when you go to verse 2, it says, according to some millenarian teaching, the transporting of believers to heaven at the second coming of Christ. So in the Christian religion, they teach that Christ is going to come back at his second coming, and that is called the rapture. Now, there's a whole doctrine we're going to go into, and there are different doctrinal teachings on the rapture. You have pre-tribulation, you have mid-tribulation, and you have post-tribulation teachings on the rapture. But most teachings on the rapture is pre-tribulation. Before any tribulation happens in the earth, there's going to be a rapture, a transportation of believers into the heavens to join Christ in the sky, to be taken from the earth before tribulation hits the earth. Well, to my understanding, I have yet to hear Christians say that this has happened yet, but yet the world is in all types of tribulation. So that's me being a critical thinker, thinking out loud, saying, well, where is the rapture? Because there's a whole lot of hell going on this earth right now, a whole lot of tribulation happening to a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they were not raptured or transported or teleported or disappeared out of thin air, right? So that's the definition of the rapture. And what I want to do now, before I go into a document I'm going to pull up, I want to go to I meant to do this earlier, but it's fine. We're going to go to Matthew 24. It's the signs of the end of the age. The disciples come to Christ and ask him, what are the signs that we can see and expect to see when you return? Talking about the second coming. So if anybody's going to know about the second coming, I think the person who's coming is going to know. And in this case, Christ, he's the one that's coming. He's the Son of God. He's the creator of all things. After him being born, he's the creator of all things, both visible and invisible. He's the King of Kings. He's the one to rule in the kingdom to come. Okay? He sits on the right hand of the Father. He's the wisest man that ever walked this earth. And he was there in the very beginning of creation. So wouldn't you think that if anybody would know about his coming, it would be him? So should we come to him to find out about his coming? So we're going to deal with Matthew 24 a lot tonight, because we had to understand, what did he say about his coming? Not what Christianity is saying. All right. But it says here, verse 4, it says, in Jesus, which, of course, there's a lot of writing we're going to read tonight that has the name that's most familiar to people who read the Bible or understand, you know, Christianity is Jesus. But, we know that his name was not Jesus. So we will use that name in some parts of this broadcast and live stream tonight, but understand, making a disclaimer now, it's just for the edification so people understand who we're talking about. His name in the Hebrew is Yeshaya. All right, but that's teaching for another day. So we will use the name that most people recognize throughout tonight's live stream. But Christ answered and said to them, this is the first thing he told them. We go through the scripture a lot on our Friday night broadcast. Take heed that no man deceive you. Why would Christ, the first thing after being asked this question about signs of his coming, why would the first thing he would say would be, don't let anybody deceive you? I would say the first thing someone tells you when they're warning you is probably going to be the most important thing to understand. So obviously there's going to be a high level of deception for him to say something like that, to where a lot of people are going to get tricked upon my return. Could the rapture doctrine be one of those tricks? Could the alien UFO narrative be one of those tricks? Could they be related in some form or fashion? Well, we're going to talk about all that tonight. But I wanted to start here before we go any further, right? Let me pull this document up. This is a document from the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Now, I'm only going to give people a snippet from this. The elder has actually gone through some of this information in previous live streams. So, this is a taste of what you would get if you're in the Hebrew and Bible Academy. For those of you who are in the Academy, you're probably familiar with this particular, PDF and document the church has put together. In this case, the breakdown of modern Christianity and rapture deception, right? Whenever you continue reading in Matthew 24, verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So who are the many that are coming in his name and saying they are Christ? These are those who would say they are Christian. I'm a Christian. So in our church, we have together the breakdown of what is modern Christianity and what they teach, Bible teaches us, along with dealing with the rapture deception in itself. Because that is one of the things that the church teaches, Christian church, is the rapture. Okay, not to be confused with the second coming of Christ, but specifically the term rapture. So we're going to drop down here to the rapture deception. We're going to read some of this here for you, brothers and sisters, so you can see, okay, what do the scriptures tell us about the rapture? What does the Bible tell us, if anything, when it comes to the rapture? It says here, through precepts, it's clear that Christ and God are two separate entities working in unison. Working in unison, and Christ himself had a spiritual and physical father, according to scripture. And I believe this was, the end of a previous Christian breakdown that Christians teach that Christ and God are one and the same. They're the same entity when they're not, which also can be, goes into the rapture part as well. But here we see people being floated into the sky, all, skipping through the daisies and roses, being floated up, right? It says the rapture doctrine is just one of the many different false doctrines that so-called followers of Christ have constructed in order to bring confusion to the masses, because the people would rather trust in the lies than the truth. Most High has sent a strong delusion throughout the earth that people may believe the lies that are spread in Christianity. So we're saying this statement boldly, but we're going to prove this for those out there that may disagree. We're going to go to the scriptures and show that this is not what's been being taught and told. It's not what the scriptures are actually saying. Right? And if you look here, we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that talks about the strong delusion, which is funny because last broadcast, Friday night, coming out of Babylon, I had the strong delusion t-shirt on. All right. So 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, I'm not going to read those, but you can read those on your own. Speaking about the strong delusion. In order to understand the history and politics behind the rapture or left behind doctrine, as it's also called, You first have to go back to the 16th century during the time in which modern historians call the Reformation. During this time, many people were making an attempt to tear down the lies of the Roman Catholic Church. King James the Fifth and the First, actually the Sixth and the First, though not the only, was one of the biggest proponents of exposing the Roman Catholic Church for what it was. It was well known at this time in history that the upholders of Satan's Antichrist teachings were the Roman Catholic Church. It was also well understood that the Antichrist spoken of in the Bible was a governmental structure opposed to one man. So basically, when you go through the rapture doctrine, which we're going to see here in a second, they teach that the Antichrist is one man, okay? One big bad boogeyman. It says this is what set the stage for the Roman Catholic Church to bring forth one of the biggest doctrines to influence modern-day Christianity. As a result of this, many people started removing themselves from the Roman Catholic faith. During the year 1585, Jesuit general and founder of the Jesuit order, Ignatius Loyola, sent forth a decree to fellow Jesuit Francisco Ribera to compose a 500-page commentary of Revelations. So this is the commentary from Jesuits on Revelations, meaning that this is their interpretation. This entire commentary was written in Latin and was titled In Sacrum Beati Leonis Apostolae and Evangelistae Apocalypsen Commentarich. Within this 500-page commentary, Ribera was instructed to push the following ideas. So this is what came out of this 500-page commentary of Revelations. Number one. The Antichrist is one man opposed to a government structure. Number two, the Antichrist will build a temple in Jerusalem. Three, the Antichrist will abolish Christianity and make a covenant with the Jews. Four, the Antichrist will call himself God. Five, the Antichrist will not be revealed until 7 years before Christ returns. Six, the Antichrist will conquer the world. And seven, the Christians or the church will be raptured into heaven before the Antichrist appears. Now, we're going to give an overview of the rapture deception. We're not going to go into every single little point. If you want to get that, join the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Again, we're just giving you a taste of what you would get in the Bible Academy. So here you have the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola, as well as Francisco Ribera. All right, here they go. These are the guys that wrote up the 500-page commentary, and they're basically speaking about the second coming of Christ, and they called it the rapture, and it came with a doctrine. So here are your founding fathers of the rapture and modern in the modern era. It says this information was very instrumental in taking the focus off of the Antichrist government structure while placing the focus on a future boogeyman that will one day rule the world. What exactly does the Bible say about the idea of an Antichrist? So when you go to 1 John chapter 2, in verse 18, it tells us and talks about the Antichrist. So again, if we're going to get the understanding, shouldn't we read the scripture, see what the scripture says, or should we read a 500-page commentary? So that's the biggest problem with Christians, right? Christians aren't reading the Bible. Christians are listening to pastors, listening to other Christians. And this is why Christ said, many should come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The problem is nobody's reading the Bible. So let us read the Bible and see what does the Bible say about the Antichrist. Well, this is 1 John 2:18. It says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, meaning it's the last days. We're in the end times. So even in John's time, which was close to 2,000 years ago, not quite, but close, there was this talk of this Antichrist coming. So this is, again, no new thing under the sun. All right? This boogeyman Antichrist has always been this thing that's been out there. And so John had to address it. You heard in the last days that there's going to be an Antichrist. That's hearsay. You heard. Even now, so even in John's time, almost 2,000 years ago, are there many Antichrists? So if there were many in John's time, how many Antichrists are there now? Whereby we know that it is the last time. Whereby we know that it is the last days. Now, remember what I said earlier. Who better to know about his second coming than the man who's coming himself, Christ? What did Christ say about the Antichrist? Let us drop down Matthew 24. We're going to come back to this all throughout this broadcast, okay, because there's a lot that's being said here in these scriptures that is pinpointing what's happening right now. So we have to be paying attention to what's being pushed right now so we don't do what Christ told us from day one or the first sign. Take heed that no man deceive you. So what did Christ say about the Antichrist? Let's see, Matthew 24 and 24. For there shall arise false Christs, plural. That word there is Christ with an S, plural, meaning many or more than one. So Christ didn't talk about an Antichrist coming. He said there's going to be false Christs and false prophets, right? Pastors in the Christian church, maybe even people, religious leaders of other religions that would claim that, you know, their religion is the same as Christianity and we're waiting on the same thing. And, you know, they may call them a different name, false prophets that would tell you otherwise, and shall also show great signs and wonders. We're going to go into some of these great signs and wonders. What are some of these things that they could show that these false Christs and false prophets could show, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They go that word deceive again. If it were possible. Meaning the elect can't be deceived because the elect understand these scriptures. They're reading the Bible with understanding, and they're being led by the Holy Spirit. So they can't be deceived by the great signs and wonders that are coming to deceive the world when it comes to Christ and his coming. All right? Because that was John speaking about the Antichrist. Well, Christ spoke about it also. And he said there's many, more than one. So that kills this whole idea to look for one guy coming. That's actually going to happen in the sense of being real. Now, there's more to that. We're going to go into that later. But that's not the doctrine that was taught by Christ and disciples, that there was one guy coming to watch out for. Watch out for this guy. The only one that we really need to watch out for is Satan. He's the numeral uno, and his workers. That's who we got to watch out for. So let's go back to the document here. Okay, the epistle was written over 200 years before Constantine would establish the doctrine that would be the foundation of the Roman Catholic Church. There was no such thing as a pope when this epistle was written. Yet John was warning the people of his time that not only did the Antichrist already exist, they were also warned of the fact that there were many Antichrists. The word Antichrist simply means against Christ. You don't have to be a pope or some type of mysterious boogeyman in order to be against Christ. So let's get that in scripture to prove that. Sticking in 1 John, same chapter, chapter 2, a few verses down, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus or Yeshua is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So all you have to do is not believe in Christ at all and believe in another religion or don't believe in any religion or any God at all, you're an Antichrist. How many are those out there right now? Millions and probably billions. So it says, as we can see, an Antichrist is simply someone who denies the truth of Christ. So if you deny even the doctrine that Christ taught and claim to be a Christian, you're still an Antichrist. It says, believe it or not, some of the biggest antichrists are the 2.1 billion Christians who are sitting in church on Sunday waiting for an antichrist to appear in Jerusalem. Also, those who deny that Christ has come in the flesh or that he didn't have a physical body and color can also be considered Antichrist. Let's get that, because some people may say, well, it doesn't matter what color Christ was. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Because saying that, you, hey, so far, and we're going to get to scripture, you could be an Antichrist. Let's get it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay, so he came in the flesh, and if you deny or don't confess that he did not come in the flesh, you are not of God, and that is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already, it is in the world. So the Antichrist spirit was in the world then. This isn't some one, monolithic monopoly for one man to possess. Anybody can take hold of this spirit and be an Antichrist. And if you deny he came in the flesh, or if you deny that he had a physical color, an actual color, because you hear people say, oh, yeah, Christ was rain. In my eyes, he's rainbow colored. See, that's that spirit of Antichrist. Scripture doesn't say he was rainbow. He was from the tribe of Judah, okay? He was an Israelite. Israel was a ethnicity and a race. They're a race of people. So his skin color isn't the all to end all that we should focus on, but nonetheless, we can't deny the fact or the truth of his flesh either, right? So these are some of the things that the Christian religion, the traps that they get caught up in with some of the stuff that they believe and teach. Second John now, 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So, again, many antichrists. While everyone is waiting for one antichrist to pop up, they themselves have already accepted ideologies and doctrines that have caused them to become antichrists. How will we know when the antichrist arrives? Okay. Those who hold dear to this doctrine of one antichrist claim that an antichrist will arrive on the scene after a temple is built in Jerusalem in which the pope will sit. Now, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. We're not going to read that. We're not going to go into that. You will get that in the academy. Right? There are other points that we want to focus on here. So we see Constantine, a couple hundred years after Christ, having a council in which he would construct basically merging of paganism into Christianity at the time. Those who would follow Christ and merging the Bible and the scriptures with the pagans and then calling that Christianity. And that's what the Christians are celebrating today or following today. It says here, during the time when the Israelites ruled Europe, the top families of the Romans constructed a plan to come out of hiding and eventually rule the world. When the scripture states that this beast was and is not yet is, this is giving us the understanding of the rise, fall, and eventual reemergence of the Roman Empire. They were the empire in power during the time that John received this revelation. The beast that was, that fell and went into perdition beginning in 193 AD, and is not, then reappeared in the earth as the Jewish Khazars, Roman Catholic Church, the EU, and the power structure behind America and yet is. This is why it is hard to identify exactly who these sons of perditions are today. So this is now going into what we skipped here earlier. So we'll move past that. But it still has to do with the rapture because Christians are waiting on this one man to be established in Jerusalem as the Antichrist, and then the rapture is going to happen. All right, let me see here. Skipping through a lot of this. Now, let's deal with this. Is the word rapture even contained in the Bible? So most people would think, man, as much as they talk about the rapture in Christianity, and they drill this home, rapture, 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 certainly that word has to be in the Bible. Let's see. With all this talk of a rapture, you would have thought that this word was actually contained in the Bible. Nowhere in the English, Hebrew, or original Greek can the word rapture be found in the Bible. So where did this word come from? The first time the term rapture was ever used was in the Latin Vulgate, which was put together in the 4th century A.D. Before this time, there was no such term as rapture used to describe anything that had to do with Bible prophecy. This leads us to the next question of, so the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. So we can already see the deception in it right there. And what we had to be careful of is when there are certain words with doctrine behind them attached to them, and these words don't exist in the Bible. All right. 9 times out of 10, maybe more than that. Right. You're looking at a deceptive doctrine when the word doesn't even exist in the Bible at all. Wasn't found anywhere within the Christian faith until the 4th century AD, almost, you know, going into 300-400 years after Christ in the Latin Vulgate, which we know the Latin we're talking about now, the Catholics, the Roman Catholics, they came up with this, not the Bible, this word and this term. So the next question, lead us to the next question. Why is Christ coming back before his second coming to rapture people from the earth? As we stated earlier, the idea of a rapture taking place started with two Roman Catholic Jesuits. This doctrine was later promoted through J.N. Darby, a Christian Zionist. So we have Jesuits, Zionists working together, who through his doctrine of dispensationalism pushed the idea of a secret rapture. If this was not enough, during the mid-1970s and 80s, you had the Left Behind movie series, which allowed the rapture doctrine to be pushed on another level. Those who didn't read the Bible could be easily deceived by these low-budget movie productions produced by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. So how many of you out there have read these books, are familiar with these books, the Left Behind series, movies, all types of stuff, TV shows that were later continuing to push what the Jesuits, Loyola, Ribera, J.N. Darby were pushing and putting it in a book form now that people could read instead of reading the Bible. This is the problem with Christianity. Okay, they want to read every other book but the Bible, if they read it all. Later, during the mid-90s, LaHaye and Jenkins started turning their movies into books to be sold to the masses. The question is, where did these guys get the idea that Christ was coming back to the earth secretly before his second coming? Okay, where did they get this from? They didn't get it from the Bible. And they even tell you themselves these books are fiction. Fiction books. When will the so-called rapture take place? Though there is no such word as the rapture, many of these events that are explained in the rapture doctrine will take place. The question is when. The Jesuits were able to play on the minds of the unlearned by using scriptures that describe events of some people being taken up or raised, while some people are described as being left. The deception appears when people are made to believe that these events will take place before the second coming. We will at this time go to some scriptural references that the Christian churches use to describe the event of the rapture. We will then give the full understanding as to why these events will take place. As you will see, the scriptures that they use have absolutely nothing to do with Christ coming to perform a secret rapture before the second coming. So you have 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 that they use. You have Matthew 19:27 that talks about Christ's second coming. Because again, we're not saying that Christ isn't going to have a return. The Bible tells us this. Okay, so his coming is not to be confused with the rapture. The two totally different understandings. Okay, you have what Christ told you, what those of the Bible, the prophets told us about his coming, and then you have the Christian church and religion is telling us something different. When you look at Matthew 24, again, verse 29, the reaping of the elect will not take place until after the tribulation. Tribulation happens first. Because when we read Matthew 24, we're reading all the tribulation. All right? Starting at verse 1 all the way down to 29. Now we're getting to 29. Let's see what happens. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. What days? The last days. The days the disciples asked of what would lead up to Christ's return. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So this is the second coming of Christ after the tribulation. And he shall send, this is verse 31, he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. So this is your real alien invasion we're talking about here. And it's not the alien invasion they're telling us is coming. And what Project Bluebeam look to now use this rapture, deception, in some sort of way to deceive people and have them think that Christ has come back, but hasn't. We're going to go into that information and the scriptures on that also. All right. So that is just a small taste, a tidbit of what you would get in the Hebrew and Bible Academy on just one of the 11 plus lessons that are taught, 12 plus lessons, 11 including this one, or 12 including this one, right, of 3 months with all the PDFs, material, videos, streams, news, Hebrew lessons, everything. All right, but we're just wanting to get a little introduction to the rapture and Project Bluebeam, as well as I have here from Liberty University, which you all are going to get this. I'm not going to go into this, but you'll get this. It's an interesting read. You can read yourselves. Liberty University, Scholars Crossing, Article Archives, Pre-Trib Research Center, May 2009. Is the pre-trib rapture a satanic deception? Thomas D. Ice out of Liberty University. So you all will get this. You can read it on your own, where they talk about some of these same controversies that a church like ours has with the Christian church that's teaching pre-tribulation rapture. You know, pretty much kind of what we've gone through to some degree, but kind of showing you that we're not the only church or only people that can see through the satanic deception of a pre-tribulation rapture, which shouldn't be called a rapture at all. But remember, we got the definition of rapture: a feeling of intense pleasure or joy. Okay? And if they can get you caught up in that feeling, could there then the deception come from that feeling? And so you have one of your Illuminati card games, the Messiah, people looking up at the sky. Could they possibly be looking up to something that's not real, thinking it's real? You also have Church of Middle America, another Illuminati card game, where you have flying saucers above a church. And it says they'll never get it, even when the saucers are flying overhead. They'll never get it. They'll never understand what's going on. So that's what we're going to go into now. So now we're going to, now that we've touched on the rapture deception a little bit, now let's go into Project Bluebeam. What is going on with this whole thing behind this so-called conspiracy theory, Project Bluebeam? We have a video here off Z Media. Jan Dyer, Project Bluebeam and Preparing for the Coming Deception. This was March 28th, 2023. Going to get some understanding here from this particular broadcast, podcast on Project Bluebeam. It says here, Pentagon officials recently suggested in a draft paper that alien visitors to our solar system might be sending out smaller probes to Earth. Jan Dyer of jaysanalysis.com joins us to discuss Project Bluebeam and preparing for the coming deception. So you have the article here, and you all will get this article. Pentagon warns alien mothership possibly sending smaller probes to Earth. March 22nd, 2023. So what, in the midst of all these so-called Chinese spy balloons and UFOs over America and North America, the Pentagon, which we know is the military branch of a U.S. government, which is telling in itself, the military is warning that these probes could possibly be from a mothership. And you know, we learned in our Operation Paperclip and the other one, Operation Mockingbird, that mainstream media is basically CIA fear and trauma-based mind control. It's a military operation on the minds of people. It's not news. That was proven when we went into the understanding, and that information is out there. Operation Mockingbird. You can go check it out. All the news people from the past, the different government officials, ex-CIA, even the CIA themselves, coming out telling you that their job is to control the minds of people through news and media. Okay, so understand this is a military psyop being ran on the minds of people when these type of circulations come out. Even though it's being reported here on Natural News, it wasn't originally reported. They're just following up with what the Pentagon said. So you'll get this article so you can actually, you know, read it yourself. But this is the nonsense they want us to believe, that there's a mothership out there sending out probes into the earth. Okay, running. This all started really, escalating and intensifying in 2023. All right, let's move forward here to this Project Bluebeam discussion now. So one thing that stood out to me, what he just said, was that if they could have mankind believe that these aliens, these fake aliens, actually exist, that it would actually disprove the Bible. All right. So already we're starting to see they're looking to sway people from the Bible, all right, from believing in Christ and things of that nature, by pushing this this alien narrative that they pushed for so long, this UFO, little green gray man, big gray man, whatever, these creatures, big heads, big eyes, right? Keep going here. Nanotechnology in the brain to alter thoughts. All right. Keep that in mind as we go through this information tonight. Very, very important to understand what we've talked about up to this point with when it comes to the nanotechnology, the graphene, the ingredients in these solutions that they're calling vaccines, primarily the COVID shot. Okay, this all is going to start to make sense and come together, I believe, and connect with what they're looking to do when it comes to full mind control of mankind outside of just the psychological part, the actual technological part of the mind control. All right. The nanotechnology ingredients that was in the COVID shot, right? It responds differently when it's close to a frequency like a router. 314 area code on Blog Talk. I see you. I'm going to get to your call here in a moment. Just want to get through a little bit of this what we're watching here. But just pay close attention to these, you know, this as we go back into the originator of Project Bluebeam, the ideology behind it, and Serge Monast, when we go into his writings, okay? Because he died in 1996. All right, let's keep going here. So he's going through they're going through the four steps of Project Bluebeam. And when I go into a book I have, we're going to go into the literature on this. All right. And he's breaking down the movie Prometheus, showing part of this first step. All right. I'm not going to go into the first step now. We're going to go into it in detail in the document that I have, the book. Okay. But they're going through the four steps of Project Bluebeam. Humans are antennae, right? We've had a broadcast on mankind becoming human antennas. So these are things that these higher ups and these insiders have talked about and have been planning for a long time. We're just now to a place to where technology has caught up with their initial plans. They ran the psychological part of it, you know, back 40s, 50s, and then once, you know, as technology became available, they started implementing slowly the technology to transition us over to now to receive the signal or the frequency. I'm going to go more into that here later. So we're gonna go into that, how they're going to great lengths to try to prove that the Bible is not true with all this. Final step, and then we're gonna go into the book and break all this down ourselves, okay? And we talked about childhood's end, last coming out of Babylon. We talked about it. I told you all, if you haven't seen it, check that out, because it's pretty much them telling you what the aliens really are, which he kind of gives it away if you haven't seen it. But trust me, you still want to watch it, because it's wild how it all unfolds. But let's see, there's maybe a little bit more here, and then we're going to go to the blog talk. There are some callers. I'm going to get to y'all in a second. We just want to kind of get the last couple of pieces here. And so we're going to end there. There's a little bit more, but you all will have this for yourselves to check out. I want to go to the call lines now. So let's go ahead over there before we go into the book, dealing with what we just watched. So let's go ahead over to the call lines. We have, let me see, make sure they're still there before the call's cut off. We have the 314 area code. 314, Shabbat Shalom, you're live.
Shabbat Shalom, Elder.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh.
Loud and clear.
All praises. Wow. As always, what a great broadcast. This is Mawara here in Dallas, of course. Wow, what a great broadcast. I wanted to point out a couple of small things. One, going back to the word rapture, you know, one of the things I always look at with words, I looked at the actual opposite of the antonym is indifferent, which actually has a definition of being a lack of interest, concern, or sympathy. So the total opposite of this is what they're pushing. So that's going to equal something like the purge. So I'm bringing that out because if they actually do a hoax, let's say, of the rapture, all of the Christians who are then, of course, left behind because there's no real rapture, so all the people who, you know, thought, oh, my God, I got left behind, you know, they're going to give up. They're going to lose their faith because you know, it's contingent on this whole, you know, I'm going to get floated up into the clouds. So when you look around and you see what you think are people being raptured and you're not one of them, that's going to really, I guess, go into the purge to me is what I'm thinking about in that kind of mass hallucinations with, you know, all the people got the, you know, got the jabs or whatever. So that mind control that they were just talking about, I could totally see how that's the plan in order to just sort of wipe out the last of the so-called Christian resistance, the people who are still trying to hold on. If you do that, you just kind of, you would knock them out almost wholesale. So
yeah,
that's what I would say.
Yeah, definitely that's an angle, but you also have the angle, which we'll talk more here shortly, of if they were to convince you that you've been lied to the whole time and what you thought you believed in Christianity wasn't real, then at that point,
right,
how many people that lose their faith, you know, being told that what you believed in Christianity was a lie, it was really paganism the whole time. You've been worshiping and celebrating this guy with Christmas and this guy with Easter, however, but we're going to get into that more here later, but yeah, it's one way or the other of Satan trying to deceive. But that's why Christ said, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So
would be deceived. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
and
so it's,
know,
it's going to get wild and crazy. So these are just more so hypothetical cards, but we're like Christ said, watch and pray always. So we're paying close attention and praying not to get caught up in the deception and the hysteria.
Right, right. And, you know, and they were talking about movies. I know this guy talks a lot about Hollywood or whatever. But, you know, even on the little screen, one of my favorite shows growing up was Twilight Zone. Of course, it was in syndication. I ain't that old.
Yeah.
But but watching it in syndication, you know how many episodes they had about aliens? And it was always...
Yeah.
Hostile. Always
yeah.
hostile.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been programming us for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And with that, I'm going to get on out your way, sir. I'm waiting to hear the next piece of this before I have to go shut it down for service tomorrow.
Okay. Well, hey, stay buckled up because, hey, when we go into this book, it's going to get crazy. So thanks for calling in and bless you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Elder.
567 area code. Shabbat shalom. You're live. Five, six, seven, last four digits, 1816. Are you there? All right, you got your hand. Okay, there you are.
Hi. Yeah, I had to take you off mute. Shabbat shalom. Thank you for doing such a wonderful job. Man, I'm telling you, you go deep. What I've seen, you know, with all this modern technology going on, let me take you off the speaker, is I've had family members, I mean, have, like, strokes and have been shot and all this stuff. And it seems like they bounce back within 3 days. So I think that medicine that they're putting into them is doing something to them. I mean, I've seen all kind of crazy things. And you just bring it to fruition with what you bring. And I'm just kind of... It might sound unorthodox, but enjoying Jacob's trouble because Satan is in double trouble, and everything he's doing is coming to naught. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I pray over everything now, you know, and I'm just thankful for the Most High for keeping me in the land of the living, because I'd have fainted with all this stuff that's going on. It's just like I tell my kids, listen, my parents never told me anything about what I talked to you guys about, you know, and I hope they come to the kingdom, you know, but if not, you know, I can't be Miss Lot, you know, I cannot be Miss Lot. So I appreciate you. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Bless you and Shabbat shalom. All right. And yeah, you know, hey, the Holy Spirit does her thing, and I'm just here, you know, trying to be as obedient as I can to bring out what I feel the Holy Spirit is bringing my direction and doing my part in, you know, sharing information with brothers and sisters out there. So all praises to the Most High. And you know, one thing the sister, she did say was she's enjoying Jacob's trouble. Right. So one thing I can say about that is, yeah, these are very exciting times we're living in to kind of read the scriptures and to kind of see what's happening and to be able to see it for what it is and not be those who are in the matrix, you know, blue-pilled, okay, in the world, who haven't taken the red pill and can see things for what they really are. It's exciting to be one that can see and not get caught up in the deception. And the time the prophet spoke about that they wanted to live to see. And so, yeah, there is some level of excitement that can go into these times and living now. And it's, you know, definitely a mentality that you would want to lean more toward is being excited more than being concerned with the things that are happening. And so it's like a movie. You can kind of sit back and just watch it all unfold. And for me, it's exciting because a lot of this stuff I've studied for a long time. Like, for instance, Project Bluebeam. I've known about Project Bluebeam, probably at least 20 years maybe, and I've never really talked about it or looked to do a broadcast or anything on it, because I just felt like, okay, well, it's a bit of a stretch, even though I could see it being possibly true. But if the time and place comes to where, you know, we could talk about these things, and we'll do that. And I just felt like as more and more stuff's coming out, it's kind of like getting more and more undeniable that this is a card that they're going to play. And so to kind of know about, you know, these things for so long and now kind of seeing it all come together under 2020 and the Great Reset is like, wow, I can see how it's all coming together like clockwork, just perfect pieces of the puzzles coming together. The Bible is becoming more alive than ever. And so for me, that's exciting for me to actually witness. And then the new information that comes, because of course, you know, this is just, you know, I only know a small part of everything. So just as more, you know, revelation and enlightenment comes and all those type of things, more things that are done in the dark come to light. It just, it even makes it more exciting. So, but 618 area code, I see you in the queue. I don't know if you are looking to speak. If you are, just press the number 1, because right now I don't see you with your hand raised. Okay, so that you want to speak. Let me go ahead and bring you in. 618, you are live. You're on the air. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Elder. How you doing today?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. Yes. I don't know if you haven't seen this, but there's a two-part movie series called Attraction. It's Attraction, and Attraction 2 is on Tubi. And it's about, you know, an alien invasion. But when you look at it, matter of fact, I'm going to post the trailers on YouTube. It is full description over in Ezekiel 1 when you see it. And I mean, it's word for word in Ezekiel 1 in that movie. It was shot in Russia in 2018. Then the second one was in 2020 during, you know, the pandemic. And backing on what you were saying 2 weeks ago about the holograms and how they're going to present this fake invasion, you know, also the video of the guy, he explained where the real clouds are, they're physical, but then they're not. Like they were shooting at it, but it's going through it. Where technically a hologram is the same way. So the holograms look like what's in this movie here, because that's what Christ is actually bringing back. So when Christ do really come, that's really going to make them fight against them. Because this, like you see in the movies, is what they're going to see.
Yeah, I'm actually showing the trailer for the movie now while you're speaking, and it's exactly what you're saying and what Ezekiel saw and what we've been showing with the kaleidoscope, the gyroscope, kind of what we are showing with Event Horizon and Starfield the last time we spoke about this. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely check this out. It looks definitely intriguing, to say the least.
God. And the second movie, which is called The Invasion. Now, it's not really what you think it is, but actually what you're talking about tonight, you will see that in there. It's a deceiving title, but everything that's going on right now, I don't want to get a plot away. So, but it's on Tubi. But I suggest watch the first one, Attraction, and then Attraction 2, and then it'll all come together.
So it's called The Invasion?
Well, the second one is called Attraction 2, The Invasion.
Oh, okay. So Attraction and then Attraction 2, The Invasion. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm watching this trailer right now, and the other brothers and sisters can see it too, for Attraction. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. That is I mean, there's so many movies and video, so many movies, TV shows, and video games that just when I'm thinking about this, going back and thinking about all the ones I've watched and seen, just myself, it's crazy because it's like, man, if you put them all together, it's kind of like laying out this map of this idea and concept of, you know, what we're talking about, this discussion. So, but you just gave me another one. And I am going to, when I get a chance, I'm going to watch that. That's very, very interesting looking.
Well, all praises, Elder.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. And may the Most High bless you. Shabbat Shalom. All
right, Shabbat Shalom.
All right. And that is it for the callers on Blog Talk. Let's see here. Yeah, so we're good. And so now, yeah, I don't know what y'all thought about that trailer for that attraction. I don't know how many of y'all have seen that, but that definitely looks really good. Let us now go into coming off the heels of this Project Bluebeam and preparing for the coming deception. This book right here, now we're about to really blow the hinges off all what we're talking about. This is a book titled Project Bluebeam False Flag. It's a compilation of articles, videos, as well as Serge Manast and what he wrote about on this Project Bluebeam. I hope you brothers and sisters are ready to go into this because this, it's about to get real. Okay, you already see this fake Christ image appearing over a city with flying saucers, hologram. All right, we have SpaceX. This was a rocket launched from SpaceX exploding in the atmosphere, supposedly. So this book, 2019, let me see who the author is. It says, this educational book is not for sale. It aims to support scholars who conduct research into the ways that false flag operations such as corporate fake news stories deceive the masses. Okay. Table of contents. It says here, introduction. This mini book is about Project Bluebeam. Believers in this project claim that this is or was a secret NASA venture. This text contains three main sections. This segment provides historical context that underpins analysis chapters. The second part centers around the claim that Project Bluebeam has four execution steps. These are breakdown, UFOs, languages, transmission, and leadership responses. The third chapter centers around ancillary topics in the literature. These include a discussion of leading public commentators and how they link this project to religion. The concluding two subsections examine contemporary developments in geopolitics that may relate to a clandestine project that bears similarities to Bluebeam, which retains unofficial, for example, unproven folklore status. These real events bear uncanny resemblances to Bluebeam. Okay, so below we have a diagram that theorizes Project Bluebeam. So step one, you have breakdown of archaeological knowledge. Strategic artificial earthquakes. You talked about HAARP and their ability to create earthquakes, weather control, all that. And through this, you're going to get discrediting of global religions. Step two, gigantic space show, UFOs, Messiah. Okay. Step three, where there's going to be an overlap between these two steps, telepathic communications. Step four, response to imminent alien invasion, global government formation, unified world military force. All right. It says here, the dominant theme in the Project Bluebeam independent literature is a claim that Bluebeam is a hoax masterminded by NASA's controllers during the prior century, possibly as early as the 1960s. The goal of this deceptive project aims to use fear of alien invasion to fool the world population into accepting the instant need for a one-world government and a one-world military force managed by a globalist corrupt institution such as the United Nations. This single event may accelerate the deep state playbook diagram theorized by this author. Okay, so you have a diagram here of D's. At the top of the pyramid, you have deity. Under that, you have dynasties, despots, domination, depopulation, diseases, drudges, desire, deputies and drones, delivery, disempowerment and dependency, dispossession, destruction, distraction, darkness, division, debt. Under that, devices, deceit, disinformation, distortion, disguise, derangement. And below that, denominator. On the outside, you have disclosure. Breakdown. A component of the first step is the public challenging of orthodox archaeological knowledge by those who control mainstream narratives. This example published by National Geographic may provide an example for those who are keen to independently verify this author's argument that global media are currently challenging long-established archaeological theories and narratives. Stanford University mastermind of the devious MK Ultra mind control project want the global population to believe that their bioforensic scientists have confirmed the existence of a micro-sized human that could fit in the palm of an adult's hands. Okay, so these are some of the things that they roll out in their media to get you to question everything that you've been told in history. Earthquakes. Numerous independent researchers claim that there are more earthquakes occurring in 2019 than at any time during the past century. These select examples may inspire readers to independently confirm these claims via their own research. And we know Christ, one of the signs in Matthew 24, was earthquakes in diverse places. Okay, so this would definitely fit right in line with Christ and the signs he spoke about on earthquakes. Okay, so these are just articles that are in this book. You also have religions. The Western group of nations collectively comprise far more political, military, and economic power than its nearest rival, the single nation of China. Power shift is changing. Christianity, including its numerous denominations, is easily the most influential Western religion. To change the religious power balance in the West would require the discrediting of major Christian icons such as the Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus Christ, Virgin Mary, and Christian prophets. So that's why when you look right now, there's this huge push against the Bible. You have a serious sodomite rise happening right now where the sodomite wickedness and evil and debauchery now is being pushed to the forefront, where right now you even have the rainbow flag being heralded at the White House, in this case representing the LGBTQ community. Okay, so they you know, getting to a place to where the Bible is becoming non-existent, and they're looking to discredit the Bible and push people away from the traditional values and principles of the Bible. Okay, so we see this happening, right? Now, again, this book was written in 2019, but a lot of these things were based upon Serge Manast, who died in 1996, and what he was saying at the time, he knew and found out what was going on. An independent journalist. Let's see here. And this is the reason why they've been pushing a lot lately, the New Age, saying that we all believe in the same God. It's just all, you know, your path to God, but we all get to the same God. Okay, Oprah Winfrey was known for a show she did dealing with that, right? And so in this book, it shows articles of how Christianity is declining in the West, in our society, Okay, let me think about it. I mean, for those of you who can remember that grew up maybe in previous decades, how, you know, almost everybody in the Black community had a Bible in their house. Typically, it was a big Bible. It was sitting on, you know, the living room table. You know, always went to church Sunday, you know, it was, even though it was Sunday, but in some form or fashion, we were connected to, Christianity or believing in Christ. Now look at the Black community. The Black community is agnostic, atheist, into all other religions now that don't believe in the Bible. And a lot of this is the breakdown of the nuclear family when you don't have fathers in the homes to go along with the moms raising the children. Then now it's kind of like the women are now getting into all types of witchcraft, black girl magic, mysticism, all this, you know, yoga and all this madness now. So, but by dividing the home, any house divided cannot stand. So now by dividing the home, it is left our community where the Bible is taking a back seat. And we can see that in our culture and the result of what's happening with our children in this generation, what the men are into and doing and what the women are into and what they're doing. But as a whole, the whole country has now become less of a Christian country. And the Democrats are pushing very hard this woke culture that goes all the way against the Bible. The church, I mean, you have so many people now in the Christian church who have become non-believers because of the madness going on in the Christian church, sodomy, women pastors. A lot of men aren't in the church anymore because they see the lies in the church and they say there's no truth here because the Bible's not being taught. So all you see in the churches are women. And it's purely emotional, no knowledge at all. False flags. A false flag is a fake terror event. The actus, modus operandi, and motives behind these stunts are not accurately reported in the mainstream media. The media may knowingly publish false details. They may be fed phony disinformation by a corrupt entity such as a government authority. So here we have 9/11. These are the passports of the hijackers that came out of the plane that went up in smoke and flame, supposedly, allegedly, during 9/11. Right? The buildings went down, but the passports don't have a single burn mark on them. That's what they told us, what they sold us on. All right. UFOs. Virtually all public commentators who write and speak about Project Bluebeam claim that images of UFOs is the second stage of this scheme. This may be achieved via a hologram technology. A hologram is merely the projection of a real or false manufactured image onto other matter such as a wall, cloud, or cloudless sky. How many of y'all remember this in China where it was said that people saw a city in the sky, but it wasn't real? That was, I believe, 2015, where this city was sitting on clouds in the sky in China. It says here, first trial psyops work best away from big cities as mass panic may result. So they like to do the psyops in more smaller rural areas instead of a big city where it's more, you can control it more of a controlled environment. The U.S. Army reports that hologram technology existed in the 1970s. We're going to talk more about, we showed this last stream we did on this content. We're going to talk more about the hologram technology also. So here is a document from the U.S. Army that goes into holograms. And they've used holograms in all different kind of ways. You know, Tupac was in Coachella on stage as a hologram. Wasn't him. It was a hologram. I believe they've done it with Michael Jackson. On and on and on and on. These holograms. I'm going to show you some more tonight. Recent ones, not past ones. Some are recent. Some Project Bluebeam theorists claim that the apparition of UFOs will be accompanied by images of one or more deities or prophets. These will likely be the deity or prophet that is dominant and influential in that region or nation. The image of the Muslim prophet Muhammad is an obvious example that may translate to Muslim majority countries such as Kuwait and Iran. So basically, whatever region is the main belief is what prophet is said is going to appear in holographic form accompanied by UFOs. And you have here a graphic image depiction, a portrayal of a nuclear holocaust, the generic image of a spiral crown illuminated male figure, and chemtrails are present. Remember, they were talking about in the video we just watched how chemtrails and barium and some of the chemicals that are in chemtrails are also used in a hologram technology. So could also a reason for spraying the skies with the chemtrails be used with many different reasons that they could, you know, be for, but also for the holographic technology. It says various artists use different depictions of Project Bluebeam because Project Bluebeam does not officially exist. There is no custodian authority that owns the images of this false flag narrative. All right, then it goes into Area 51. We spoke about that a little bit last broadcast. And how these are pretty much PSYOP, Black Op ran locations, military locations where they're running the fallen technology. You know, going back to John D'Souza, the ex-FBI agent, he was saying that, you know, these sites are where they develop the space age craft and technology. He also said that that these interdimensional beings give mankind knowledge as they bring bodies. So as they're bringing bodies to sacrifice or to be experimented on to these interdimensional beings, then in exchange for that, they give mankind knowledge, so or the technology. All right, so that's more so what you would say is happening at Area 51. It's not reverse engineering of fallen alien craft. This is interdimensional communication between mankind and demons, right? Nephilim spirits and Satan, and getting this technology to deceive, you know, use against mankind to, in their eyes, fight against Christ and his angels when they return. Okay, so, and you can always, kind of go into, you can always download, this is a PDF, you can always get this and read it on your own. It says here, languages. Deities, aliens, UFOs, and other entities that may appear when Bluebeam goes live will supposedly communicate using spoken and or written words. If Bluebeam is an authentic project, it is possible that its masterminds may select or fine-tune their chosen modes of communication at the last moment. Most Bluebeam theorists speculate These modes include, number one, text message communication sent to all owners of cell phones. Similar messages may be auto-sent to all popular social media accounts, such as Twitter. Two, voices may be heard coming direct from the sky. What have we heard in recent times? People are hearing voices, right? Even going back before all this technology where people have said to heard voices. But with the technology or the tricknology, they now have even a, you know, a easier way of getting people to hear voices. Verse 3, voices may be sent telepathically direct to a person's mind. I'm going to talk about that. Okay. Mental telepathy, telekinesis, all these things. And when you watch Independence Day and some of these other movies, it shows these aliens communicating telepathically, not through verbal speech. So they do show some things as far as truth, mixed fantasy. Okay, so because we're talking about interdimensions. We're talking about, wrestling not with flesh and blood, but principalities, all right, from on high. So let's keep going here. And then we're going to go into Serge Manas. We're going to get his exact words from his book. And it is mind-blowing, to say the least. Okay. It says leadership. The dominant theme in the Blue Beam literature is that alien UFOs will overtly signal sinister intentions. They may state that they aim to colonize Earth as a slave factory. Those who haven't seen Colony, three-season alien TV series, go watch Colony. So they may say that they're looking to colonize the Earth. Many people already view Earth in this light. Alien apparitions may murder, imprison, or kill any creature at will. This unprecedented global crisis may catalyze instant global support for the formation of a unified government that merges all nations, militaries. The desire to form a deceitful one-world government is consistent with this author's publications dated 2019. All right, let's keep going here. Then it goes into Ronald Reagan. We talked about things that he said about us all coming together to fight the alien threat and to stop warring against each other. Bill Clinton spoke about aliens on, I forget what talk show that was, Jimmy Kimmel maybe. Energy, talked about this. Energy weapons such as microwave lasers have likely existed in America's arsenal since at least 2001. Right, we talked about the Star Wars program. And the desire to get directed energy weapons, lasers, excuse me, because they cannot fight energy with metal weapons, metal artillery or ammunition. Got to fight energy with energy. So they're in this to find energy-based weapons that they can fight the angelic host with. Keep going here. We're getting. So it says here, Serge Manas was an independent Canadian journalist who spoke publicly and wrote about his ostensible knowledge of Project Bluebeam for around a decade prior to his death. He died of a heart attack on December 5th, 1996. After spending one night in jail, he was age 51. So I said 41 earlier. I miscalculated. 51. So He was arrested, was in jail for one night, had a heart attack, and died. So I'll let you all come to a conclusion of what happened with his death. Right? Published a book titled NASA's Project Bluebeam in 1994. So he published this book, and 2 years later, he dies of a heart attack in a prison. We're about to go into some parts of his book here. Serge claims that the New World Order aims to replace Christianity with a New Age belief system, a global religion. And you've seen this huge push of New Age religion more and more and more each year. Christ consciousness and all these other things. It says here, most people who discuss Bluebeam theorize that a hologram that depicts the Christian Messiah, Jesus, will likely be projected via a hologram in powerful, populated Christian nations such as America and Canada. All right, and now let's go ahead. We're about to go into Serge's words. And just how mind-blowing. Got Elon Musk in here. All right. Serge claims that the UN aims to usher in the one world government Nazi order. And we've been talking about UN Agenda 21, UN Agenda 2030 here lately. Right, so all this fits perfectly in with, you know, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about lately. And I'm amazed at just how the spirit works. And it seems like, you know, every broadcast is building upon the next one. And it seems like it's in perfect order. And it was never planned that way, right? It just all comes in the spirit. And it just seems like they all build. So what we learn and gain from all these broadcasts leading to now, we can say, okay, it makes perfect sense what they're doing with this, how this could actually happen. Right? Now, just trying to get there. These are the rules of the references to all this information we just read. Here we have the greatest hoax, Serge Monast Project Bluebeam transcript. Following is the transcript of a tape presentation by Serge Monast, a French-speaking Canadian journalist. Although there was no date on the tape, Monast speaks of 1983 as 11 years ago. So we will assume this talk took place in 1994. So his book came out in 1994, and he said 11 years ago to 1983 in this interview. So we could say all this is happening right around 1994. So I want y'all to keep in mind the timeline or the time that he was speaking of all this stuff in and what's going on 30 years later right now. And a lot of the stuff he was speaking of prior to 1994, he was speaking about this stuff in the 80s. So 40 years ago,